Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And tonight we're in our series that we've been calling Unstoppable. We're going to have one more message in this series. We have tonight and then next Sunday night. And then after that I've got another series that I've got planned. But tonight we're going to look at the subject of an unstoppable future. We have an unstoppable future. We're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, just kind of as an introduction, and then we'll spend a lot of tonight in the book of Revelation. But just to begin, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We ask for your blessing upon this time as we study your word. We ask your Holy Spirit would teach us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Scripture, especially the book of Revelation, gives us a glimpse of what is coming. It gives us a glimpse of the future. Anybody who likes to hike, they'll tell you that they say it's worth it for the views when you get to the top of the mountain. They say, yeah, it's tough climbing that mountain, it's tough coming down that mountain, but boy, you should just see the view from the top. You know, just how beautiful it is to be able to look out. And you know, thanks to the internet, I can get a lot of those same views without having to climb there. The other day, I was there at the top of Mount Everest. I didn't have to climb it at all. I was there eating a snack, sitting down. And I could see the views from Mount Everest, and it's beautiful. You should try it sometime. You should go and climb it. But you know, you get to the top of the mountain on a clear day, you can see pretty far, and you can see things out in the distance, and you can see like larger things that are out there. Maybe some tall buildings that are out there. Maybe some other mountain peaks that you can see off in the distance. There's things that are way out there in the distance that, because you are up on that mountaintop, you're able to look out there and see those things. But in between, right, in the land in between, there's a lot of other little things that are down there. There's probably roads and buildings you can't see, and cars that are on those roads maybe, or people that are walking around about doing their thing. There's a lot of things, smaller things that are down there that you just can't see because you're so high up. There's the trees that just blanket the view. If you're high enough, maybe it's clouds, right? You're up above the clouds, and there's just all those clouds that you can see everywhere that covers a lot of those little details. And that's what it's like reading the book of Revelation. Right, there's a lot of details between now and then that are just covered that we cannot see. But the book of Revelation gives us this view of a lot of larger events that we know are coming. And that's our unstoppable future. And God has promised that the things that are coming are going to happen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." He said the word of God is not going to pass away until all of it is fulfilled, including all those events that are found in the book of Revelation. And you know, as people, we crave certainty. We want to have certainty in our life. And yes, there's times where we like surprises, like to be scared scared by things, or have a little spontaneity in our life. And I always say, I feel like I want to be more spontaneous. And then when it happens, I go, I don't, I'd like to know about this, right? I like to have things planned out. We can be that way, right? We like to have that certainty to know what's going to happen, have it written down and on our schedules. It's there on our planner and our calendar, and like to know the things that are coming up. We like to have that certainty, but we also understand that there is no certainty outside of what God has revealed to us. James says that our life is like a vapor. We don't know what's going to be on the morrow, and we can make all the plans that we want, right? We can say, we'll go in here and there and do this or that, but really we need to say, if the Lord will, because it's up to God. And the only certainty that we have is what God has told to us. And so tonight, I want us to really, as we look at this unstoppable future, I want us to take comfort in the things that God has prepared for us, in being able to look ahead, to know what God has said is going to happen to us as believers, to those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, who know the forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have some things that have been promised to us. And our future, what Jesus Christ has told us, is an unstoppable future. And so tonight we're going to look at what that is, some of the things that the Bible tells us about. So the first one, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So we have an unstoppable future, and we know that we have now an unstoppable departure. Number one, an unstoppable departure. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 13, where it says, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We have an unstoppable departure that's coming. I don't know about you, but I've got some things coming on my calendar that I've been kind of looking forward to. One is this Thursday. We're getting the inverter on our solar panel replaced. The system that we have, the inverter went earlier in the summer, which means that like all these beautiful sunshine and all these beautiful days with like no clouds, we haven't been making any power with our solar panel system because the inverter has been out. And so we called the company. Thankfully, it's under warranty, but they said there's a big delay. Right, it's all, you know, backed up with getting them from the company. So they called us the other day, and it's in. So I'm looking forward to getting that replaced on Thursday. That's on my calendar. I'm looking forward to the Thursday after that. We're going to the Big E with Baptist Bible Academy. That's always fun. There's good food there, and I don't do the rides, but there's good food there, and you just walk around and have a good time. You know what else we've got coming up on the calendar? The rapture. That's coming. You know, I think it would be an interesting exercise for us if we, you took out your planner, you know, for the month of, what are we in, September? And just every day you wrote the rapture with a question mark, right? Every single day. You're like, all right, this might be on the schedule for today. I don't know. But I think it'd be a neat exercise just to go through that. So every day you get up and you look at your schedule of events and you go, Lord might come back today. This might be the day that the rapture happens. I think it'd be just a great reminder for us that's coming. I like the word we use for that, the rapture. It's not a word that we find in Scripture. It's never called that. Somebody at some time named it that. But the word rapture means to be carried away. And a lot of times we'll use it emotionally, right? You're in rapture over the music that you're hearing or whatever. But I feel like it really fits because, number one, it's going to be an emotional time for us. The joy that we're going to experience when we are taken from here into the presence of God. But also, it's a literal being carried away. We are taken away off this earth. And just to think about all that we're going to leave behind when we leave this place. All the wickedness and sin that's in this culture, right, that we are confronted with every single day. You know, and just all the things that we hear, right? There's been multiple times where I've just been walking through a parking lot and hear people talk and you go, wow. And it's just like, it's everywhere. All the things you hear and things you've seen, it's like you can't get away from it. One day we will. When Jesus Christ comes back for us, we're leaving all of the wickedness of this world behind. We're leaving every sorrow and every pain behind. All of that stays here and we're taken away. We're going to leave so much wickedness and so much of the things that we take for granted down here that this is just the way life is. When we leave, when there's that unstoppable departure, all of that is left behind. So we have an unstoppable departure that we're looking forward to. We're also looking forward to an unstoppable meeting. We're still in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, which we already read, but it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. An unstoppable meeting. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I saw a news story recently about a lady, and back in 1971, she was 10 years old. 10 years old in 1971, and she was given a class assignment to write a letter to a soldier in the Vietnam War. So she writes this letter to someone she doesn't know, soldier she doesn't know, and gives it to the teacher, and as a school, they mail these letters out to these soldiers in Vietnam. Well, the one that this lady wrote was given to a young medic named Dominic Catalo, and he was a medic over there in Vietnam, and he receives this letter, and he thought, you know what, I should write her back. And so he writes her back this letter, and she received it, and that was the only communication they had, but she kept that letter. And she framed it, and she kept it for 50 years. 50 years she holds onto that letter. And it was just last year, I think in 2021, that she decided to see if she could look up this soldier. And so she did some research. She had his name, and she found him through some veterans association. And she reached out to him and contacted him and said, hey, do you remember this? And they finally met face-to-face. After that, one communication they had 50 years ago, they had this sort of reunion, and they got to see each other and have that meeting face to face. You know, I was thinking about that. We've been talking with God and reading what God has written to us for years, right? The years that we've been saved, getting to know the Lord. And there's coming a time when we will have that reunion, where we will get to meet him face to face. And when we get to heaven and we see Jesus Christ, it's not like we're going to get there and he's going to be some stranger to us, where we have to kind of, you know, get to know him. We know Jesus Christ. We've been getting to know him over these years, hearing him speak to us and talking with him. And there should be in this relationship a real familiarity where we've gotten to know Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven, he will be someone that we love, someone that we've really grown to know and grown to appreciate and love over the years. And you know how, well, I don't know about you, but I'm most at ease around my family. Right, my wife and my kids and my parents and my siblings and all that. You just, you know, you know them, and they know everything about you, and so it's just, you just feel right at home with them. I think that's going to be heaven, right? Because when we go there, we are going home to be with our family, our Father, our Heavenly Father. It's going to be this homecoming for us. We're really, I think, where we finally feel at home with Jesus Christ and with our Savior. And it's going to be this meeting like we've never had before. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ face to face. Face to face I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory I shall see him by and by. So number two, we've got an unstoppable meeting that we're looking forward to. Number three, there's an unstoppable transformation that's going to happen. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. An unstoppable transformation. Verse 51. Behold, of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We are going to be different. In that day, when Jesus Christ comes back for us, when we go to heaven, we are going to be changed. As we grow older, things just start to deteriorate. You know, fall apart and break down, and health issues seem to just grow more and more frequent and more serious the older you get. Things just don't work like they used to. It gets harder to do things, you know, the things you used to do without even thinking. Now it takes planning and effort. And I know you're looking at me going, you don't know anything yet. And it's true. Everything seems to be working fine. I'm thankful for that. But, you know, one day I think it's going to be such a relief to get to heaven and to have that transformation where physically, we are transformed, where we're changed. And all the pain and the suffering that's here in this physical body is gone, right? And there's definitely going to be that physical transformation. But I think even greater is going to be the release from our sin nature and the release from the sinfulness that even now is still a part of us. I mean, there's going to be no more struggling with temptation. The temptations that we struggle with every day that are constantly, we're constantly fighting against and constantly trying to get the victory over through Jesus Christ, those are going to be gone. No temptation. And we're going to have a heart that fully loves our Savior. You know, we're told that, right? That we're supposed to love the Lord our God with everything. Our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And we try. We try, don't we, to love Jesus Christ with all we have. And yet, we fail so much. There's so many other things that really grab our affections. And then we love these other things that we're not supposed to. We're told not to love the world, and we try, but it's such a struggle to really love the Lord with all our heart. And when we get to heaven, we will. There'll be that transformation, and we'll finally know what it is to love the Lord our God with everything, all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength. How amazing is that going to be, just to be in love with Jesus Christ? No distractions, no temptations, nothing else that's calling for our affections but Jesus Christ. Just to love him with everything that we have. I like 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will be like Jesus Christ. We can't even begin to comprehend what that is going to be. But there's coming this unstoppable transformation, where we are going to be changed. So we're eagerly awaiting an unstoppable transformation. Number four, there's going to be an unstoppable celebration. An unstoppable celebration. So now we go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And if you're keeping track, there are 6 points tonight. So we're on number four. Revelation chapter 19, verse 5. We'll start right there. And a voice came out of the throne. So this is John. He's having his visions of heaven. And here's a voice come out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thundering, saying, "Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him." You know, every time we get a glimpse of heaven, it seems like every time there's just a lot of singing and rejoicing that's going on. And I love to sing. Music's a big part of my life. And I can't wait to sing when I get to heaven. Man, those high notes, I can't wait to hit all the high notes. Right? I can't wait to hit all the low notes too, you know. They're the notes we struggle with. All the great songs, you know, they've got those high notes, and then you try and hit them, you go, it's not going to be a problem when we get to heaven, right? So there's all this singing, and but the cause for celebration here in Revelation chapter 19, and we'll pick up where we left off in verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." And so there's this celebration with the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be more beautiful than any earthly wedding that you've been to, even your own. It's this amazing celebration of our relationship as a church, as the bride of Christ, our relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. We find the saints in verse 8. They're dressed in fine linen, clean and white, and that is the righteousness of the saints. It's this picture of purity, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, as Paul's talking about the relationship between husband and wives, he segues that right into our relationship with Jesus Christ as the church and how marriage is to be a picture of our relationship with Christ. And so he says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We are going to be presented to Jesus Christ, pure, without blemish, holy, without spot. And this celebration in Revelation chapter 19 is a celebration of this permanent union of love between us and Jesus Christ, the ones that he has redeemed with his blood. And it is going to be a day of rejoicing, a day of celebration and praising Jesus Christ for what he has done, for his power and his forgiveness and his redemption. So there's an unstoppable celebration. Number five, there's an unstoppable victory, an unstoppable victory. Revelation chapter 20, the next chapter over, verse 1, Satan is defeated once and for all. Revelation 20, and we're going to read verses 1 down through verse 10. Verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. An unstoppable victory. Have you ever seen a snake and you said, I need to kill that snake? Probably. You chop the head off that thing, right, and the body still moves. Right, it's still wiggling and slithering around and you know, writhing around. That's Revelation chapter 20, right? Satan's already defeated. It's already over, but he's still moving around, right? There's still some commotion from Satan. He's still trying to attack. He's still trying, but the battle's over. It's over. It's over by the cross, right? At the cross where Jesus Christ defeats Satan, and it's over. I mean, that was prophesied back in Genesis, the very beginning. Genesis 3 and verse 15, where even in the, as Adam and Eve are being, and the land is being cursed because of their sin, even in there, Satan is told, listen, the Savior's going to bruise your head. You'll bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. And there was going to be victory on the cross, and it took place on Calvary. And it was done. It was over at that point. Satan has no chance, right? And he's still moving around, but he's done. And there's this unstoppable victory that's coming, where Satan is going to be shut up in the bottomless pit for a period of time. And I like that in verse 3, where it says he cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up. Stop talking. You know, just be quiet. Stop what you're doing. You're done. But then after 1,000 years, he's loosed for a little season, and he goes right back to what he was doing. And then in verse 10. He's cast into the lake of fire where he will be forever and ever. His end is coming. And I like what Martin Luther wrote in his song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. He wrote it in German, then they translated it. I won't read it in German. I don't know German. But the third verse of that song is, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. And I like that last part. He says, one little word shall fell him. What we see in Revelation chapter 19, and even in the beginning of the book of Revelation. But in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15, when it's talking about Jesus Christ as he goes forth to conquer in this battle, it says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. If we look in verse 21 of chapter 19, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the sword, upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And he's pictured as a sword coming out of his mouth. It's a picture of the power of the words of Jesus Christ. The same power that spoke everything into existence in Genesis chapter 1 is the same power that's going to defeat Satan just by the word of his mouth. That's all the power that he needs. And Martin Luther put it, one little word shall fell him. That's all Jesus Christ needs. I mean, it's an unstoppable victory. It's coming. And all the work and all the evil that Satan is trying to do right now cannot stop the victory that's coming, cannot stop his defeat. For lo, his doom is sure, one little word shall fell him. There's an unstoppable victory that's coming. But then number six, lastly, we're looking forward to an unstoppable life, an unstoppable life. So turn to Revelation chapter 21. When the Bible talks about eternal life, and I know I've said this before, it talks, yes, it's about the quantity, right? That's forever, but it's also about the quality of that life. That it's not just an existence, but that it's life, eternal life. And Revelation chapter 21 and 22 give us just a picture of what that life is going to be like. And so we're going to read a bit of this chapter, starting in verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Let's go down to verse 22. John says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And words don't accurately, I think, describe this I think we can't fully know what that's going to be like. I was reading that verse where it talked about how the glory of God is the light, and trying to imagine what that's like to walk in the light of the glory of God. We're used to the sun, you know, and artificial lights and incandescent light and all of that, you know, and that's the light that we're used to. But what is it going to be like to walk down a street in the light of the glory of God, which is so incredible that there is no need for a sun anymore, because it's the light that comes from God, walking in the brightness and the warmth of his glory. Look down in chapter 22 and verse 2. Verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And it talks in another place about being able to eat of that fruit. I go, I wonder what it tastes like. I hope it tastes like donuts. I like donuts. Maybe that's a thing. You know, there were donuts this morning, you know, for Sunday school. And I went down and got one, and then I was like, I should take some to my kids. And so I gave one to Cassie, and I offered one to Kevin, and he didn't want it. So I said, well, what am I going to do with this? Obvious answer is I got to eat it. So I had two, and then I went home, and I was like, well, I'm not really hungry for lunch, but I feel like I should eat something. So I got some carrot sticks and some, you know, snap peas and ate those because I felt like I should eat something healthy. But I'll tell you what, I would have rather had more donuts. I just enjoy those better. You know, I don't know what it's going to taste like, but it's going to be amazing to be able to be there and partake of that. But, it gets even better. Look at verse 3 of chapter 22. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. The idea of his name in our foreheads is like that we belong to him. There's this visible representation that we are his. But we will get to see him face to face, to see the face of Jesus Christ and worship before his face. All these years that we've spent hearing him and praying to him and reading scripture, and yet to finally see Jesus Christ face to face, an unstoppable life, a life that we'll have that's filled with blessings and joys that we can't even begin to imagine how great that is going to be. And it's an unstoppable, eternal life that we have. So an unstoppable future that we look forward to in all these different events that we know are going to take place. There's a common question that interviewers will ask people that are like applying for a job, and it's the question, where do you see yourself in 5 years? You've been asked that one before. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And you know, and you'd say, well, I see myself in your job, you know, doing what you are doing, or, you know, I see myself in this company helping out, or I don't know, whatever answers you give. Can you imagine though, you sit down in an interview and they're like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And you've just been thinking about the rapture and you give a biblical answer. You're like, I see myself in a robe of pure white. I see myself walking down streets of pure gold. They're gonna go, okay. Let's find someone else, or let's lock this person up. But you can imagine, where do you see yourself in 5 years? It could very well be that in 5 years, that's where we see ourselves. We see ourselves in heaven, casting our crowns before Jesus Christ, singing in a heavenly choir, praising Jesus Christ. That's coming. I don't know if it's going to be 5 years, 10 years, I don't know. It could be 5 minutes. But we know it's going to happen. We know it's coming. It's an unstoppable future that we have. And I want to read one more verse. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Right at the beginning of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And that's the truth. They are going to come to pass. Like it says, they must shortly come to pass. You know, we have an unstoppable future, and we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to all the things that are going to take place, and the fact that we are going to have a part of this. This is our future. It's not just a future or someone else's future. This is our future if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. But boy, we rejoice in that. And all the things that we see down here that we're going to get to leave behind, they're going to be a part of our past. We look forward to that, and we rejoice in all that Jesus Christ has for us. But that unstoppable future only comes because we're held in the hands of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is secure in the hands of our unstoppable Savior. But I trust this was a comfort to you. I trust it's an encouragement to you. And I trust it keeps us looking forward to what Jesus Christ has for us. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for all that your word has told us. Lord, we look forward to what you have prepared for us. Lord, you are so good, you are so faithful to us, and we rest in you and the security that you offer toward us. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and fixed on the future. Help us not to be discouraged with all that's going on, knowing that you are in control. And Lord, we thank you for what you've told us. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.